Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Beis. Before we begin the Shiur, we will glance at the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, that's a topic heading, where we have in parentheses noted Hemshech. This is a continuation of the Gemara we started during our previous Shiur. And we note here, Diyun B'shitos Abaye V'Rava B'inyan Eged Kli. We'll be featuring the opinions of Abaye and Rava regarding the topic that we, as we said, started during the end of our last year, and that was the issue of Eged Kli. If that expression is not clear, so it would be worth listening to the Gemara that we discussed at the end of Daf Tzadi Aleph. So we continue with the Gemara concerning the topic of Eged Kli. V'chein Omar Rava Loi Shanu Elo Bekupa Maleo Kishuin Udiluin. That which the Mishnah taught, that one will be exempt or innocent from the violation of Hoitzah, as the Mishnah said, until he carries out the entire box, that exemption of Ad Shiyotzi Kol HaKupa, until he takes out the entire box, is true only if the box is filled with long vegetables, Kishuin and Diluin, names of long vegetables, which basically means that as long as the part of the box is still inside, the content also, the content of that box is still partially inside, and you haven't taken it out completely. Avol Maleo Chardol, if, let us say, the box were filled with chardol, mustard seed, so that when you focus on the seed, excluding the box, so the part of the seed content that's outside, those seeds are completely outside. Each individual seed that is over the threshold outside is outside. So if you have a box that's filled with chardol and part of the box is still inside, that doesn't that does not diminish the severity of what has happened, and therefore chayov. What does this show as far as Rava's opinion? Almo Kosovar, Rava therefore is of the opinion, Eged Kli Lo Shme Eged. The fact that the Kli is Agud is still attached to the previous domain, it hasn't completely left, it's still tied into the original domain, is not considered a tie-in, is not considered Eged, it's not considered significant enough to cause the mitigation of the offense. Abaye Omar afilu mleo chardol potter, even if the box is filled with a granular substance or mustard seeds, small items, and the items themselves are outside, but the box hasn't been completely taken outside, so you will be exempt. Almo, this shows us Abaye's position is kosovar eged kli shmei eged. The fact that part of the kli is bound still inside, that is considered a binding. It's he's considered bound inside, and therefore has not fully been in a violation of hoitzah. And now an interesting thing takes place in the Gemara. The two shittas we just saw, Abaye and Rava, switch around. Kom Abaye b'shitzei de Rava. Abaye arises adopts Rava's position that Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged, and we wrote above this in little words, Lo Shmei Eged, and Kom Rava B'shitzei D'Abayin. Rava, now, he accepts Abaye's position that it's Shmei Eged. That having been said, the Gemara proceeds to raise a dual question. V'Romi D'Abaye Ad'Abaye, V'Romi D'Rava Ad'Rava. We're now going to point out contradictions between what we just noted as far as Abaye and Rava, where we circled their names, and what they've said elsewhere. The Itmar, we have a statement, Hamotzi Peros Lushus Rabim. A person who extends fruits into a public thoroughfare. So you have a person who is in a private domain, and he's extending fruits into a public domain. Abaye Omar, biyad, if the person is holding the fruits. So the body of the person, the person himself is standing indoors, and he extends his hand into the Rishus HaRabim. It says Chayav. And the idea here is that the Eged Guf, the fact that the person is still restrained, so to speak, or drawn inside, and his hand is outside, is not a restraining factor. And therefore, he is guilty, because the hand is not associated with his body. However, Bikli, if he extends a box filled with peros, and part of the box is still indoors, he will be potter. Now, that shows us that Abaye is of the opinion that Eged Kli Shmei Eged. Now, Rava, what did Abaye, where we circled him, what did he most recently say? Well, all you do is you look at the circle and you read the right in, the words we wrote in, and you see that Abaye above, two lines above, or three lines above, held Lo Shmei Eged. That's a contradiction. Now, we look at Rava, for Rava Omar. Rava, looking at the same case, says, Yad Potter, if the person extended his arm with fruits in it and his body is still indoors, so he is not guilty because Eged Gufo Shmei Eged. Bikli, however, if he extended a box full of fruits partially, the box is partially inside still, partially outside, he is Chayav. That shows us that Rava here is saying Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged. Compare this to what Rava, where he was circled, what did we say? He said there, Shmei Eged. Well, that's a contradiction then, Rava here against the Rava circled a few lines above. The Gemara answers, Epoch. Just switch them around. And if you switch the Shittas around, so then you find they will be consistent. The Gemara now asks on a comment that we saw, that there was an opinion, Biyad Chayav. That was Abaye's opinion, just a couple, two lines up. How can that be, though, the Gemara asks? If you have someone standing indoors and he extends fruits, extends items with his hand outdoors to the public thoroughfare. Now, we're not talking about him placing it down in the public thoroughfare. It means simply that his hand is extended over the public thoroughfare. There, we saw Abaye saying that that would be chayav, v'hotnan, but we raise a question from Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah in this Maseches, and it said over there the following. You can see we have a frame around the Tanaic source. Poshat Baal Habayis Es Yodo Lachutz. A person extended his hand with some items in it outdoors. V'notel Ha'oni Mitocha, and the Noni, the poor man standing outdoors, took from his hand whatever had been extended. Oi Shenosan L'Seicha, or the Oni put something into the Baal Habayis' hand, and the homeowner, he withdrew his hand, v'hichnis, and then withdrew his hand with the items that the Oni put into it. Shnehem Peturim, both are exempt. There's been no Shabbos violation. But now, we see over here, in the simplest case is the beginning, where the Baal Habayis stuck his hand out into the public thoroughfare with something in it. The culmination of this source is Peturin. There's exemption. So here you have a case of an extended hand with something in it, and there's exemption. The Gemara resolves. Hosam lemalo mishlosha. There in the Mishnah of Daf Beis, the reason there's an exemption is because the hand was extended at a height more than 3 tfachim from the ground. So it's not considered attached to the ground. Hocha, but here, in where Abaye said biyad chayav, he extended his hand with an item in it within 3 tfachim of the ground, and therefore it's considered as if it's been munach. It's as if it's been placed down. It's as if it's been placed down, and therefore he will be chayav. He is guilty of chotzah. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side under the topic heading, the Nosei, and we read, Mahu Maso Kedarko V'Shelo Kedarko. What constitutes carrying something in a normal fashion versus in an unusual fashion? In Hilchus Shabbos, One is guilty of a Torah-level offense only if he does something in the normal way. If he does it b'shinui, or in a shalo kedarko, or kilachar yad fashion, he would be exempt. So it's important to define what's considered normal versus which is not normal. The Mishnah, hamotzi bein bimino bein b'smolo, whether someone carries something with his right hand or his left hand, seemingly irrelevant whether the person is a righty or lefty, but carrying out in one's hand, you will see, is considered chayov. And also, besoch cheko, o al ksefov, chayov. If he carries something in his bosom or on his shoulders, he is guilty. Shekein maso b'nei kohos. The b'nei kohos was a family of Levium in the Midbar. In the construction of the Mishkan, they carried their items on their shoulders. So it makes it such, the fact that the Torah describes that that was their method of carrying, it shows that this was their, that it was normal. However, kil achar yodo, if someone carries something by positioning it on the back of his hand, beraglo, on his foot, befiv, in his mouth, bemarpeko, in his armpit, beozno, on his ear, besairo, in his hair, ubepundoso, upio lamato, or a type of, let's call it a type of money belt, or it's a hollow type belt with the opening positioned downwards, bein pundoso lechaluko, or between his belt and his garment, ubesfas chaluko, or at the border of his shirt, his garment, beminolo, on his shoe, besandolo, also an open shoe. Any way, any of these forms of carrying something, poter shelo hotzi kederach hamotzi, he'll be exempt because he hasn't carried it out in the normal way that people carry things out. Before we continue with the Gemara, let's glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, where it's written hamotzi masui lemalo me'asorat fochem, one who carries something while raising it above 10 tfochem, above the ground. So he's carrying something more than 10 tfachim above the ground. Omar Rebelozer, Hamotzi Masui Lamalo Me'asorat Tfachim Chayov. If you carry something at a height of more than 10 tfachim from the ground, so he will be Chayov. Let's glance at the Rashi. Hamotzi Masui Lamalo Me'asorat Me'aviro Va'avir Biyodo. He's carrying it in his hand, in the air, v'enu al ksefo, and it's not on his shoulder, v'govoa min ha'aretz asora ko'omar, and it's more than 10 tfachim above the ground, d'i b'munach al ksefo. If we here we're talking about something on his shoulder, well, I don't need Rebbe Lozer to tell me about that. Masnisin hi, that's featured in our Mishnah. So let's turn back to the Gemara. So, Rebbe Lozer says that carrying something more than 10 tfachim over the ground is considered a normal way of carrying. Shekein maso b'nei kohos. Before we go further, we must pay attention to some of our markings. A diamond appears here, and on the side under our mivneh heading, the diamond is featured, and it's noted takdimim, precedence, letzuros shonos shel maso, for different forms of carrying. So we'll have a diamond here, and in a Gemara later on, you will see the diamond again featured in a different discussion, but it also is a precedent for what will be said there. So here the Gemara says that carrying something 10 tfachim above the ground is normal, and that was the way shekein maso b'nei kohos. That was the way the kohos family carried their items that they were assigned to carrying in the construction of the Mishkan, carrying them through the desert during the travels, during the exodus from Mitzrayim. And we've pointed out on other occasions that the laws of Shabbos are learned from the method of dealing or constructing the Mishkan in the Midbar. So B'nai Kohos is an important precedent setter for what we are learning. The Gemara continues, Umaso b'nei kohos min olan, and in the carrying of b'nei kohos, the items they carried the different vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. How do you know that, in fact, they were carrying items at a height of more than 10 tfachim from the ground? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Asher al HaMishkan v'al HaMizbeach Soviv. In this Pasuk, there is a comparison. Makish Mizbeach leMishkan. The Mizbeach is compared to the Mishkan. Ma Mishkan Eser Amos, Af Mizbeach Eser Amos. Just like the Mishkan, the boards, the sideboards of the Mishkan measured 10 Amos in height, so too the Mizbeach was 10 Amos in height. O Mishkan Gufe Minolon, and the Mishkan itself, from where do you know that it was 10 Amos in height? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Eser Amos Oirech HaKeresh. The height of the board of the Keresh was 10 Amos. Uksiv, and it also says, Vayifrois es ha'oil al ha-mishkan. He spread the cloth covering of the Mishkan over the frame. V'omar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu pirso. And Rav tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, he spread out the oil, the covering of the Mishkan over the frame, over the Mishkan frame. Mikan atolome goivon shel Leviim. From here, we learn, just like Moshe was a Levi, we learn the height of the Leviim, Eser Amos. They were 10 Amos in height. So we're establishing, there's a little one we have over here, which works with the assumption that the Leviim were 10 Amos in height. Later, there will be a number 2, which works with a different height for the Leviim, but the same goal will be achieved, namely that transportation of items was at a height of more than 10 tfachim from the ground. So we're now establishing that the Leviim, including the B'nai Kohos, were 10 Amos in height. Ugemiri, we have a tradition, the chol tuna de midli bimotos, any item, tuna literally is a burden, any item that you're carrying that's carried on poles. And in the with regard to the vessels of the base Hamikdash, a number of the different vessels were in fact carried on poles. So the rule is, with regard to vessels like that, they were positioned thusly, tilso mile'el utre tilsi milatachas. 1/3 of the height of the item carried on a pole was above the pole height, and 2/3 of the item were below the pole height. Ishtakach, the result of this, after you make the calculations, it will come out to have midli tuva, that the mizbeach, when it was being carried, the bottom of the mizbeach was more than 10 tfachim from the ground. We've included a crude diagram on the side of the Gemara to help illustrate this. So if by looking at the right-hand margin of the page, you'll see a mizbeach is featured, and it measures, the mizbeach itself measures a total of 10 amos. There are two braces in there, 3 1/3 amos and 6 2/3 amos. The pole was positioned on the, let's say, the shoulder of the Levi. The Levi's shoulder measured 10 amos from the ground. Being that 1/3 of the Mizbeach rose to a height of 3 1/3 amos above that, the bottom part of the Mizbeach was 6 2/3 amos below the extended below the shoulder of the Levi. However, the Levi was 10 amos tall. So if 6 2/3 amos extends below the shoulder of the Levi, there remains a balance of 3 1/3 amos till the ground. And that's all illustrated, as you can see on the diagram. Now, 3 1/3 amos, being that one amo measures 6 tfachim, 6 handbreadths, 3 1/3 amos will measure 20 tfachim. So there's a gap of 20 tfachim between the bottom of the mizbeach and the floor. Well, 20 is much more than 10. And we see from here that is the way, that's the normal way of carrying. So that Rebbe Elazar's halacha, which opened up this Gemara, that one who carries a masui of more than 10 tefachim from the ground on Shabbos, he is in violation of Shabbos rules, because this is the way transportation or carriage of items was performed. The Gemara continues, the Iboy Seimo, we squiggle underline the Iboy Seimo, this is a transition expression. In other words, we up till now we're working with an assumption that the Levim were 10 amas in height. The Eboy is saying, well, if you prefer or if you want, you can say as follows, that the Levim were of normal height. Normal height means 3 amos from ground till shoulder. So you can work with that assumption and make aron. We will learn the halacha of Rebbe Lozer of carriage more than 10 tefachim above the ground results in a chiyuv from the aron, from the holy ark that contained the 10 commandments. The omar mar, aron tisha v'kapuras tefach, the aron measured a total of 10 tefachim, 9 for the box itself and another 1 tefach for the gold covering. Hare kan asora. That gives you 10 tefachim of oron height. Ugmiri, and we have a tradition, the choltuna. This is the same tradition that we just mentioned before. The oron was carried on poles as well. And the tradition says, the choltuna de migli bimotos, any burden that's carried on poles, tilsi mileo, tre tilsi milara. 1/3 is above the pole level, and 2/3 below the pole level. Ishtakach, it comes out, the result is, the lamalo me'asara hava koi, that the bottom of the oron was more than 10 tefachim from the ground. Now, here we also have a little diagram, also to the right-hand side of the page, where the oron is featured, and here working with the idea that the Levi was 3 amos tall, 3 amos, it's 3 times 6 means he was 18 tefachim till from the ground till his shoulder. The oron was itself a total of 10 tefachim. 2/3 of the oron's height extended below the shoulder of the Levi that was carrying it. 2/3 of 10 is 6 2/3 tefachim. So the bottom of the oron from, if you take the 6 2/3 and subtract it from 18, being the height of the Levi, you see there's a balance of 11 1/3 tefachim from the bottom of the aron till the floor. 11 1/3 tefachim, once again, is more than 10 tefachim. And still, that's the way they carry things. So that items carried at a height of more than 10 tefachim of the ground is guilty on Shabbos, guilty of Hoitzah. We turn back to the Gemara. The Ligmar Mimoshe, according to this answer that we were learning from the Levium, why not learn from Moshe? And Rashi says 3 lines from the bottom, Sheporas HaMishkan, V'nimtza D'goyven Shelevim Eser Amos, V'neilith Mi Levium Noisei HaMizbeach. So the question is, according to approach number 2, why doesn't he learn like approach number 1? So the Gemara answers, Dilmo Moshe Shaini, maybe Moshe was different. D'yom Amar, it has been said, Ein HaShechina Shura Ela Al Chocham Gibor V'Oshir U'Baal Koimo. The divine presence does not set upon someone who is, unless the person has the following characteristics. He's a chacham, a wise man, a gibor, a warrior, a strong individual, the oshir, wealthy, and bal komo, and a man of significant height. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall, that's unique to Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the divine presence setting upon him. But as far as the rank and file Levi, he wasn't necessarily 10 amos in height. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei heading, we've indicated Hamotzi Masui Al Rosho, someone who carries something on his head. The Mivneh note indicates that the triangles that will appear in the Gemara are shlavim. We're dealing with stages. The birur ma nilmad mitzura samasa shel anshe hutzel. The Gemara will cite that the anshe hutzel used to carry things on their heads. Shehoyu noisim masos al roshehen. And what we want to know is, what are we to do with that piece of information, that the anshe hutzel, people of the town of Hutzel, carry things on their heads. So we now turn to the Gemara, and again noting that the triangles represent stages in the development of the sugya. Number one, so Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya. Rav, quoting Rabbi Chiya, says, Hamotzi Masui B'Shabbos Al Rosho Chayav Chatos. One who carries something on his head on Shabbos. And when we say on his head, means it's balanced on his head without holding it with his hands. He will be guilty of Hoitzah on Shabbos. Shekain Anshe Hutzel Oisin Kain. Remember, the diamond marking from before was to highlight a precedent setter. So we're saying that we are going to learn from the Anshe Hutzel who used to carry things balanced on their heads. The Gemara asks, the Anshe Hutzel Ruba Diyama, do the people of Hutzel constitute the majority of the world? Maybe they were odd. And I don't learn from that which is unusual, unless you could establish that they represented the majority of the world. I'm not necessarily going to learn from them. Elo iyitmar hochi itmar. If Rav had said anything in the name of Reb Chiya regarding the Anshe Hutzel, it is as follows. Echod mibnei Hutzel shehoitzi masui al rosho b'Shabbos, a member of the Hutzel community that carries something on his head on Shabbos, chayav, he will be guilty of hoitzah, shekein b'nei iro osin kein, because people of his community do thusly. The Gemara asks, even so, the tibotel daito etzel kol adam, why not say that their approach is null relative to the rest of humanity? So that they would represent an oddity. Ela, yitmar hochi yitmar. Rather, if anything was said on this topic, it was said thusly, Hamotzi masui al rosho potur. One who carries something on his head will be exempt. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, V'im timtzalomar anshe utzal oisin kein. And if you were to argue, well, but the anshe utzal carry things outside on their heads, we will tell you, Botla Daiton Eitzel Kol Adam, that their approach is considered null and void relative to the rest of humanity. And therefore, we don't take into consideration the fact that they carry things on their heads. The Mishnah. Once again, before we learn the Mishnah, let's just glance at the side under the Nosei heading, Hamiskavei Lahotzi Lefonov Uba Loi Lachrov. We'll be discussing, amongst other things, one who has an intention to carry something while positioned in front of him, attached to his belt or his shirt or whatever in front of him, and it winds around it to his back. The Mishnah. Hamiskaving lahotzi lefonov uba lo laachrov potter. It twists to behind his back. He had intent to carry it out while in front, and before he gets outside, it swivels around to his back. He'll be exempt. Number two, la'achrov ubalo lefonov. He had intention to carry something out attached to his back, and it swivels around to be in front. Chayov, he will be guilty. The Gemara will deal with the difference between these two cases. Be'emes Omru, ha'isha ha'chogeres besinor. In the expression Be'emes Omru, the Gemara will point out later, means that this is something that has halachic significance. So that it has been said that a woman who wears a sinor, it's a type of clothing. Rashi explains sinor ke'en michnosayim tanim, it's like a small pair of pants, the chogeres osolitznius, and she wears this for modesty purposes. The im tolsa bo shum davar lahotzi ubalo letzad afir chayev, as if she had attached anything to this sinar and it swivels around to her back. She will be guilty. So the Mishnah says, Ho'isha chageres besinor, bein milafonel, ubein milachreo, chayeves. Whether it's attached to her front or attached to her back, she will be guilty of hoitzah, shekein roi lios chozer. It's known that this type of garment twists around. And therefore, when she initially attached it, even if she attached it to her front side, She knows that while walking, this garment twists around, and that which starts out being in front can come out to be in the back. And therefore, she's chayav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mekabli piskin. Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mekabli piskin, shel melech. Piskin are documents, papers of the king, and he takes these things, lemoislim lerotzim, to... they're given to runners that run with these garments, with these items, with these documents. So in their carrying, so this phenomenon takes place as well. And this pshat that we're giving is based on that which you see in the Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Reb Yehuda, that according to the Rabbeinu Shmuel brought in the Tosfos, the Mekabli Piskin were similar to the case of the woman with her sinar, that one would expect it to, when they would attach things to their belts, they would twist around from one side to the other. We turn back to the Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, though, we would want to note the geometric forms, and on the side of them, under the Mivneh heading, the diamond introduces Kushyos Bahavonas HaMishnah. These are questions with regard to how to understand the Mishnah. So you have a diamond here, and a number of lines later, a second one, and we have a little numbering system also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text where you can see this, 1 and 2. In the course of each question, though, we'll encounter a house form which highlights the expression Umay Kushyo, and on the side of the Gemara, these are Tshuvos L'Sheilos Hanal. These represent responses to the questions that are raised. So the Gemara, my shno lefonav ubo lo leachrov the potter the lois avid machshav also. What is different about the case of something that was originally attached to one's front and then it twisted around to his back, that you said he's exempt? And why would you say he's exempt? You would assume because his intention wasn't carried out. And with regard to Hilchos Shabbos, the issue of intention or planned activities is of central importance. And if his plan wasn't that which actually took place, so that's reason for exemption. Being that that's the case, la'achrav ubo loy lefonav nami. If he attached something originally to his back and it swiveled around to his front, also, holo is avid machshav also, so his plan wasn't carried out there either. He attached it originally to his back side, and now it swivels around to his front. Why does the Mishnah say that he's chayav? Omar Rebbe Elazar, Tavra, mi shishana zu, lo shana zu. Rebbe Elazar says, in fact, the two cases of the Mishnah represent two different Tanaic points of view. The Tanakama will actually exempt in both cases. The second Tana in the Mishnah will mechayev in both cases. Namely, according to the Tanakama, the fact that his kavona wasn't, or his original plan didn't come to fruition, that's reason for exemption, and that's the case. That is true in both cases. According to the second opinion, of the fact that the specifics of his original plan weren't carried out. How do you like that for a pun, by the way? The fact that it didn't come to be, that doesn't diminish the severity. So Rebbe Elazar represents one approach. Omar Rava. Rava has a different approach. And he says, Umay Kusha. He says, I don't see a question to begin with. These two cases, the one and two cases, are two different. They have two different qualities to them. Dilma, it could be lefonav ubalo liachrov, where you originally attached it in front and it swiveled in back. Hainu time of the potter. The following is the reason for exemption. Deniskaving lishmira meulav also be other shmira b'chusa. He originally intended for a high quality shmira. Shmira is a phenomenon of watching or guarding something. If something is in front of you, so you have your eye on it, you can keep track of it. It's easy for it to be under your control. So you attached it in front with the intent of having a high, Me'ula means high quality, a high quality shmira. And then what happened as you were walking out, it swiveled back into your back. So then you would then have a lower level quality guarding. And since it's diminished in quality, that's reason for exemption. You intended to do something of a high quality, and what came out was something of a low quality, so you're not guilty. However, li'achravu balo lefonov, where you originally attached that into your back, and it, while you were walking, it swiveled around to be in your front, well, hainu taima d'chayav, the reason for his being guilty is d'niskaving l'shmira p'chusav also the other shmir mula. He intended for a low quality shmira, and he ended up having a higher quality shmira, and that's reason enough for holding him guilty. Elo, my kusha, but if you have a question to ask on the Mishnah, diyuka d'masnisin kusha, the inference that one could draw from the two parts of the Mishnah will result in a question. So we read one part of the Mishnah. Miskavi lo tzi lefano v'bolo li'achrov poter. That's how the Mishnah began. He intended to carry something out while in front, and it swiveled around to his back, so we say he's exempt. Now, we can infer, and the double underline is used here as the mivne indicates on the side, diyukim mehoresha v'aseifa demasnisin shinirim soyserim. We're going to draw inferences from the resha and the seifa, the earlier part, and the first case and the second case. And when you focus on the inferences, they appear to be contradictory. So, we infer from the first case the following. Ha li'achrov obolo li'achrov chayov. If you originally attached it to your back and it remained on your back, there was no change. So that would be guilty. In other words, when is there innocence? When you attached it to your front and it swiveled around to the back, we say there was a diminishing in quality from the original plan. So that's reason for exemption. However, if there's no diminishing in quality, you attached it to the back and it remained in the back, that would be guilty. Fine. Eimo seifa. Now let's state the second case. Li'achrov u'baloi lefonov hu d'chayev. If you attached it to your back and it swiveled around to be in front, that's when there is a violation because you have an increase in level of shmira. There's an improvement. That's reason for holding him guilty. If he attached it to his back and it remained in his back, potter, he would be exempt. Well, here then you can see the contradiction. Notice the dashed underline. The first time we saw this resulted in chayov, and here it results in potter, the same case. So how do you explain that? Omer Rebbe Elozer, Tavro, mi shishonazu, lo shonazu. Rebbe Elozer will tell you, and you can see we squiggle underlined Omer Rebbe Elozer just to draw your attention to the similarity between this Loshon and the first Loshon. Rebbe Elozer is saying the same thing, that it was, or you could say more accurately, in light of Rava's point before, it's on this point that Rebbe Elozer raises his or introduces his idea that the Reisha is authored by one authority and the Seifa is authored by a different authority. And there is then a machlokes. What is the din of carrying out La'achrov and it remains La'achrov? Two opinions. That's Rebbe Elozer's approach. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi does what Rava did before and says there's no question to begin with. My kushya, and in order to develop Rav Ashi's point, it takes a number of lines, and you can see we have a long answer marking on the to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, the tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. So Rav Ashi says, my kushya, what's the problem in the first place? Dilma lo mibaya komar. Maybe the Mishnah is taught in a lo mibaya fashion, and lo mibaya is explained as we continue. Lo mibaya, I don't have to tell you li'achrov u'bolo li'achrov d'chayov. This avido machshavoso. A person who attached something originally to his back and it remained that way, of course he's guilty, because it's avida machshava, so his original plan, his original intent was carried out. Again, the pun, it was carried out. Elo afilu liachrov ubalo lefonov, it's the richale. But even the case of something attached to his back and it's swiveled around to be in front, that we need to teach you. That wasn't so obvious that he's guilty. Saltadei techamina, I would have thought otherwise had it not been taught. Since he originally attached it to his back and it swiveled around to his front, so his original plan was not carried out. Lo lichayiv, maybe he shouldn't be guilty because there was a change. Chomash molon, deniskavin l'shmirah p'chuso, v'olso v'yodosh shmirah m'uluch d'chayov. So our mission informs us that where you plan for a lower quality shmirah and you ended up with a higher quality shmirah, you will be guilty of hoitza'a. The Gemara continues. Here we continue with a question. It's a long question. On the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, we featured Hamotzi L'Achrov U'Bolo L'Achrov, that the Gemara will focus on this. Nemo Tanoihi. Should we say that it is a Machloikes Tanoim? So the Gemara presents this as a question. Lemo Liachrov Ubolo Liachrov Tanoihi. Should we say that where you originally attached something to your back and it remained on your back, that it's a machlokes tanoim? Desanyo. We have a Tanaic source. Hamotzi mos mipundoso. One carries out cash in his hollow belt. Maybe if you want to refer to it as a money belt, so be it. Upio lamalo chayov. If the opening of the money belt is positioned upwards, so it's high up. The money's not going to fall out. It's a normal way of carrying out on Shabbos, or carrying out things, and therefore on Shabbos one will be high up. Pio lamato, let's say it's flipped around, where the opening is positioned groundwards. Rebuta mechayev v'chachomim poltrin. Rebuta says he'll be guilty, even though the mouth is, the opening is facing downwards, and the Chachamim will say innocent. Omar Lohen Rebuta. We have squiggle underline Rebuta's point and the response of the Rabbanon, also the next line, squiggle underline. So Rebuta says to the Rabbanon, I atem oidim, would you not agree? Bila'achrov ubalo li'achrov shu chayov. Now we've dashed underline this, but this is really what we want to focus on when we... later in the Gemara, we want to focus on this. This is the topic that we want to suggest as a machlokes tanoim. So Rabbi Yehuda takes the position that, and he says, wouldn't you agree that la'achrov ubalo la'achrov is chayov, leaving room to think that, well, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and the Rabbanan would say that it's potter, and if that's true, then we have found that it's a machlokes tanoim. Don't forget, though, we're in the middle of a question. Is it really a machlokes tanoim? So Rabbi Yehuda wanted to argue that the case of the inverted money belt is like the case of la'achrov ubolo la'achrov. And just like la'achrov ubolo la'achrov is chayev, so too the inverted money belt. V'yomru lo, and the Rabbanan said back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'i ato moide, would you not concede ki la'achar yodo v'raglo shu poter, carrying something in an unusual way, like on the back of your hand or on your foot, that one would be exempt? So therefore, we take the position that the inverted money belt is also something unusual, and therefore you should be exempt. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, ani omarti dover echad, vehein omru dover echad. I said something, and they said something. Ani lo motzasi tshuva ledivrayim, vehein lo motzu tshuva ledvarai. I didn't find a response to their argument, and they didn't find a response to my argument. Well, that's the Tanaic source. As you can see, the frame is closed over here. However, our question continues. The question being, is the case of le'achrov ubolo la'achrov, where he attached to his back and remains there, that is a Tanaic controversy as to whether he'll be chayav. The Gemara continues, mitika omar lohu, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said to them, I atem moidim, wouldn't you agree? Lav michlal de patri rabbonon. Does this not imply that the rabbonon would argue and exempt him? And if that's the case, so then it's a tanoi. Tanoi means a machloikes tanoim, where Rabbi Yehuda says le'achrav bo lo'achrav is chayav, and the rabbonon would say exempt. The Gemara says no. We're not going to conclude that. Uletameich, according to your method of concluding what you concluded, well, what do you say about the following? De ko'amri lei, that the Rabbonan said to Rabbi Yehuda, I ato moideh, regarding the kelachar yad, in the Mishnah, in this Tanaic source, where the second squiggle underline appears, the Rabbonan said, Omru lo, vi ato moideh kelachar yad of raglo shu poter. Well, they said to him, to Rabbi Yehuda, would you not agree that Kilachriyat is potter? Now, Michlal de Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda, should we infer that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree on their point? V'hotanya, but we have learned, La'achar yodav raglu divrei hakol potter. Notice we dash the line, divrei hakol, the abbreviated dalet hay is divrei hakol, that when you carry something out on the back of your hand or on your leg, everyone agrees he is exempt. So the fact that in light of the fact the Rabbonin made their comment, Kilachriyoda, wouldn't you agree Kilachriyoda was Potter? And they agree with that. Likewise, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, when he said, wouldn't you agree L'achrov, Ubo L'achrov, that one is guilty, that it may very well be that the Rabbonin would agree that he is guilty. And therefore, the suggestion of the Gemara that L'achrov, Ubo L'achrov is a machloikes tanoim would fall away. Ella, the Gemara now goes over each one of the points to set the record straight. Ella li'achrov u'bolo li'achrov, something originally attached to your back and remains on your back. Divrei hakol chayav, everyone will agree that he is guilty. As we saw before in the Gemara, isavido machshavoso, his plan remained that way and fulfilled. Number two, Le'achar yodav raglo divrei hakol poter, something carried out on the back of your hand or on your leg, everyone will agree is exempt. Ki pligi, when does a machlokis arise? Befundosoi upio lamato, regarding the money belt whose opening is faced downwards. Mor medami le, Rabbi Yehuda compares that le'achrov bo le'achrov to the case of Achrov Ubochrov, where he would be guilty. Everyone holds that case is guilty. Umor and the Chachomim, who exempt in the case of the money belt mouth facing downwards, Midami Leil Achar Yodo Viraglu, they compare that to the case of in back of your arm or attached to your leg, which is exempt. Be'emes Omru Ho'isha V'chule Tona, we are taught, Kol be'emes halochi, where you see the expression be'emes, the halocha will follow that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af mekable piskin. Tana shekein lablore malchus oisin kein. The lablorem are scribes. The royal scribes did thusly. And according to the pshat we saw before in the Tosfos, they also carried things attached to their belts in a way that they knew at the outset it would swivel around. The Mishnah. Amotzi kikor l'rishus harabim chayov. One who carries a loaf out on Shabbos to a public domain, he is chayov. Hotziu shnayim, if two people together carry out the loaf, pturin, they would be exempt. Lo yochol echod lehotzio, vohotziu shnayim chayovim. Let us say it's some type of massive loaf, too large for one person to carry, and two people carried it out. So the Tanakhama says they will both be chayav. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says that there is exemption. This is the case of ze eino yochol ve ze eino yochol. Neither one can do it. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, V'amri lo Amar Abaye, V'amri lo B'masnisa Tana. Three different possibilities of who says the following. So we have, accepting for the time being the Masnisa Tana approach, we'll call this a Tanaic source. Ze Yochol V'ze Yochol. Two people carry a small item outside, whereby each one of them could have done it by himself. And nevertheless, they two people carried it out. Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Potrim. We didn't see Rabbi Meir's opinion before when learning the Mishnah, but he holds that the case of Zeyochel Zeyochel is Chayev, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon exempt. And our Mishnah that has no name in it, our Mishnah featured the case of the Kikar that one person could have carried out, and if two people carried it out, they will be exempt. That reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we see here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But we want to focus on Rabbi Yehuda for the time being, that our Mishnah represents Rabbi Yehuda. We continue in the source. Another case, Ze Eino Yochol Ve Ze Eino Yochol. An item that's too heavy, too big, too large for one person to carry out. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Meir Mechayvin. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, they agree that he is Chayav. And in our Mishnah, we saw this as well. Lo Yochol Echod. And the Mishnah said Chayav. Once again, that will reflect Rabbi Yehuda. So that Rabbi Yehuda is reflected in the first case of Zeyachol Zeyachol, and two people did it exempt, and Rabbi Yehuda is reflected in the case of Ze'eno Yochol Ze'eno Yochol Chayav. Rabbi Shimon Poter. This Rabbi Shimon we saw in the Mishnah as well. Zeyachol Ze'eno Yochol. One person is able and the other person is not. So you have one person that could have done it on his own. Someone is coming along, carrying it along with him. Divrei Hakol Chayov. Everyone agrees that he is guilty. The Gemara will deal with the question of who is guilty in that case, but for the time being, we can simply say that case number three, everyone agrees, Chayov. Tanyo Nami Hoch. We have a Tanaic source supporting this. It appears to me that the expression Tanyo Nami Hochi in the Gemara would seem to indicate that this section is working with the idea that the frame section before really wasn't framed, shouldn't be framed, but rather it was an Amoraic statement. And when you have an Amoraic statement, often the Gemara brings a Tanaic source to support it. So here we go. Hamotzi kikar lishus rabim chayav. One who carries a loaf into a public thoroughfare from a private domain on Shabbos will be guilty. Hotzio shnayim. Two people carried out the small loaf. Rabbi Meir mechayev. Rabbi Meir holds that even though ze yochol vze yochol, nevertheless they will be chayav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Im lo yochol echod lohotzio votziu shnayim chayovim. If neither one could have carried it out, and the two of them carried it out, they'll be chayav. V'im lav. However, if that is not the case, but rather each one could have carried it out, pturin, they will be exempt. And we note that Rabbi Meir had held he would be chayav. They would be chayav. Rabbi Shimon poter, and Rabbi Shimon holds they are exempt. In other words, in the case of ze eino yochol ve ze eino yochol, Rabbi Shimon holds exemption. And this opinion of Rabbi Shimon we've seen already before. Mino hanimili detona rabbanon. From where do we know that which the rabbanon have taught? The Gemara answers with a Tanaic source. This is a pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, which deals with the need to bring a sin offering, and it says in the pasuk ba'asosa ha'oisa es kula if you do a complete action, not if you do a partial action. Doing a partial action will not result in a violation, and if done b'shogeg, so it won't result, if it's partial, it won't result in the bringing of a korban chatos. Ketzad. Example. Shnayim shoy oichsin b'malgeiz v'logzin b'karka v'shoiftin b'kumus v'koisvin b'kona. Here, this source features a number of different Shabbos activities. The last one is most directly relevant or similar to our discussion till now. Two people are carrying out something together. Let's go over some of these cases. Two people, Shnayim Shoy Oichsin B'Malgeiz, the Logzin. Rashi says velogzin, or amalgaz, is a pitchfork that's used for flipping over grains and piling them up. So we're dealing with the melacha of me'amer. Me'amer is piling up grains. So here's someone piling up stalks of grains, and two people are doing it together. The karka v'shoftin, they're holding a karker, which is one of the utensils used in the weaving process. So the two people are holding the karker and doing the process called shovate. And shovate is under the heading of the av melach of mesach. Mesach has to do with straightening out the strands on a loom. Bekumus, because the two people are holding a quill and writing. Writing on Shabbos is a melacha if one writes two letters. So you have two people holding the kumus and writing two letters. Bekona votzio lushus rabimer. They're holding a reed or a cane and carrying it out on Shabbos. Once again, the two people are doing it. And each one of these are examples of something that one could have done by himself. Yochol yuchayovin. Are the two going to be guilty of the different melachos described? Talmud Lomer ba'asosa. The Torah says ba'asosa. Ha'i says kula. V'lo ha'isa miktsasa. So that we can say that this concept of oisa miktsasa as exempt is a situation where you have ze yochol v'ze yochol, and namely, each one could have done it by himself, and two people do the activity together. They, when you look at the people, we don't say in that case that any one of them did the entire activity. We continue at the top of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph with another situation. The eagle shall dvela v'hotzio l'rushus rabim. An eagle shall dvela, Rashi says, is a very heavy thing. It's a heavy cake of pressed figs. So two people carry it out from a private to a public domain, or bekura v'hotzio. Two people are holding a beam, and a beam is also a heavy item that one could not have carried out by himself. V'hotzio l'rishus rabim. The two people carried the eagle shalvela or the kura from a private to a public domain. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yochol echolot siyavot siyu shnayim chayovim. If, as we described, neither one could have done it by himself, the carrying out, and the two people joined forces and carried it out, so they will be chayov. V'im lav turin. If it could have been done by one, if it could have been carried out by one, and the two people did it, they will be exempt. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afal pi shelo yochol echol lotzio, votziu shnayim. Rabbi Shimon says that even though neither one could have done it by himself, but the two carried it out together, in other words, you needed the two people to do the one malocha, pturim, they will be exempt. Lekach nema ba'asoysa. Therefore, it is for this reason that the Torah says ba'asosa, yochid shasa chayov, shnayim shasu turin. Only if a singular person executes the activity will there be guilt. If two people carry out or execute the activity, they will be exempt. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. As the Gemara unfolds, or more as the Gemara continues, the Gemara features the basis, the reasoning behind each one of the opinions. And as you can see, as you skim down the page, you'll see a double underlining appears, and on the side, under our Mivne heading, they are Deos Shonos Eich Lidrosh HaPosuk V'im Nefesh Achas. The Posuk that we have featured in Vayikra Perek Daled will be explained. Three different approaches. So let us continue in the Gemara. Being that we have learned the source with each one of their opinions, let's see the basis of each opinion. B'mai Komifligi, what's the basis of their Machlokes? B'hai Kro, their Machlokes is based on the following Posuk. V'im nefesh achas techto b'shkoga me'am oretz ba'asosa. And this posuk, as we mentioned earlier, is a posuk that features the bringing of a sin offering. Rabbi Shimon Sovar, t'losa mi'uti k'sivi. Rabbi Shimon, in looking at this posuk, says there are three expressions of minimizing, mi'ut, or exclusionary expressions. And the Gemara lists them off. Nefesh techto. The word nefesh that you saw in the pasuk is attached to the word techta, and nefesh is an expression sounding like nefesh velo nefoshos, means one and not two. It's in the singular. So that's one minimizing expression, and then achas techta, one person, and ba'asosa techta. Then three minimizing expressions. Chad, one of them is limuti ze oikir vezeminiach, where you have one person picked up the item, and the other, let's say, picked it up in a private domain, and someone else placed it down in the public domain, or vice versa. That performance. Each one of the people there will be innocent. So because we were using the posuk to memai, to exclude a case of ze oikir veze miniach. V'chad limuti ze yochol veze yochol. This is Reb Shimon, who says that if you have an activity that is done by two people, but it could have been done by each one by themselves, they will be innocent. The chad, and the third exclusionary expression, limuti ze eino yochol veze eino yochol. This is Reb Shimon's opinion, where you have an activity that you needed two people in order to do it. Nevertheless, they will both be exempt. And that's learned from the pasuk, which is excluding multiple performers. Even if it's a case that you needed both of them to carry it out. Rav Yehuda, how does he approach the pasuk? Chad limuti ze oker v'zeminichen. By the way, this is something that everyone agrees with. So that, as we've mentioned on previous occasions, when you have numerous variables and shitos and you have to keep things straight, it's often good to know which points don't figure into the controversy. So the case of Zem, Okiv, Zeminiach, everyone agrees is innocent. V'chad, one of the exclusionary expressions is Uti, Ze Yochol, V'Ze Yochol. And with regard to this, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that the case of an activity done by two people, where one could have done it by himself, and two people do it, they're both innocent. V'chad, and the third exclusionary expression is limuti yochid shasa baraz bezdin. Before we explain this, just take note that the case of ze eino yochol veze eino yochol, Rabbi Yehuda does not figure in as excluded, but rather they will be guilty. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the third exclusionary expression? It's the case of Yochid Shasobar Azbez, and that's a case where the Sanhedrin ruled that something is allowed, and they made a mistake in their ruling, and a person followed their ruling. That's called a yachid, a private individual, as opposed to a tribe, let's say, or rove of the majority of the population. An individual followed their ruling. He, and upon discovery of their mistake, he will not have to bring a sin offering. He is included in whatever the court has to do by way of achieving their atonement. So the private, the yochid, shasobar as bezdin, will be innocent. Rabbi Shimon, who was the previous shita, the first double underline we saw, yochid shasobar as bezdin chayav. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that a yochid that follows a ruling, an erroneous court ruling, will be chayav. He'll have to bring his own atonement. Tosfos suggests a different girsa in this Gemara, but for our purposes, it's important just to point out that Rabbi Shimon has a different take on it than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir was one of the opinions we saw above. How does he approach the pasuk of in Vayikra Perek Dalid? Rabbi Meir, he says, Miksiv nefesh techto achas techto basoso techto. Does it say that? In other words, does the pasuk read like that? Rather, trei mi'uti ksivi. Rabbi Meir does not see three exclusionary expressions. Rather, he sees two exclusionary expressions in this pasuk. Let's read this line again more accurately. We're going to read again from the double underline Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, mi'ksiv nefesh techto. Does it say nefesh techto in the pasuk? No. Achas techto ba'asosa techto. That's what it says in the pasuk. You see, in the pasuk itself, it says the word achas is attached to techto ba'asosa. So there are trei mi'uti ksivi. There are two exclusionary expressions in this pasuk. Chad limuti ze oker v'ze meniach. One is to exclude that kitch, which we mentioned before everyone agrees with. V'chad limuti yochid sha'aso baraz bezdin. That a private person who follows an erroneous court ruling will be exempt. Rashi calls him, he's oinus. Like, what could you expect from him? It was beyond his control that he sinned. He was following an erroneous court ruling. However, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, notice the case of Ze Yochol V'Ze Yochol is not excluded. In other words, will be guilty. And Ze Eino Yochol V'Ze Eino Yochol will also be guilty. It too is not excluded. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.